Mr. Johnson for reminding me. You lie next to rest every now and then.
You're a stronger writer than me, you, I think.
Yes, sure, brother. I don't think as much water as the rest of you, which I'm gonna have to start doing. Okay, you have it, I'm sorry, okay?
Yes, sir.
Good morning, sir. Once again, would you state your name and agency number for the record? Thank you, Mr. Jackson. You're going to the Arizona Board of Executive Council for your revocation hearing regarding the one allegation on your warrant. And based upon information that we have, you were notified of this hearing back on August the 23rd of this year. Do you remember that notification, sir? Well, it was stating that the hearing would be held today. Do you remember that, sir?
I was told that my hearing was going to be on the 13th of this month.
Yes, sir, and today is the 13th, so that's what I'm talking about. Yes, sir. And on that form, it's also stated that you could obtain a licensed attorney at your own expense to represent you. We don't see one in the room today. May I assume that you want to represent yourself, sir?
Yes, sir.
Okay, sir. As you can see, Mr. Yancey, there are two board members participating in your hearing today, panel members. And they are, to my right, your left, the Honorable Mr. Michael Johnson. My name is C.T. Wright. I'm going to serve as your lead and the chair of the board. We also have in the room with us today the gentleman that you can see now, and that is Mr. Turner. The Honorable Mr. Turner will be representing the Department of Corrections as well as the parole officer of today. Mr. Yancey and Mr. Turner, do both of you swear to tell the truth, the whole truth, nothing but the truth, so help you God, or do you so affirm?
Yes, sir. I do.
Thank you. As indicated, Mr. Yancey, we have one allegation on your warrant. I'm going to read it. Once I read it, would you tell me whether it's true or false, sir? And it reads that you're in violation of Arizona Condition of Supervision Number 2. Is demonstrated by your failure to follow the directives of your assigned parole officer by failing to reside at your approved residence at 1622 West Hazelwood, number 2 in Phoenix, Arizona, on about May 9, 2018, as verbally directed on May 9, 2018. Your whereabouts was unknown, thus you was in a surrender from supervision. Sir, is that true or false?
That's not true, sir. I was still living there.
Well, when you say it's not true, do you mean that it's false, sir?
Yes, sir.
Okay, then just hold on. We're going to receive some testimony on allegation number 1 from Mr. Turner, representing the Department of Corrections, and then you can tell us why it was false, and then we'll go from there, sir. Mr. Turner, would you give us some testimony on allegation number 1 as well as the follow-up?
Yes, sir. Allegation number 1. On 5-9-2018, the offender met with P.O. Ramos for a scheduled contact report. He stated that he was residing at his approved residence with his girlfriend, Linda Perifoy, at 1622 West Hazelwood, number 2, Phoenix, Arizona, 85015. On 5-18-18, P.O. Walton received a call from the offender's girlfriend, sponsor Linda Perifoy, 1622 West Hazelwood, number 2, Phoenix, Arizona, 85015. She stated the offender has not been staying with her since he left MRC on 5-7-2018. Linda says the offender comes by on occasion. The offender's whereabouts are unknown, thus he is absconded from supervision. On 5-18-18, when P.O. Walton spoke with Linda Perifoy, she also stated the offender burglarized her neighbor. She said her neighbor had a stereo stolen from her apartment. They suspected the offender, and he came by Linda's residence afterwards and admitted to her he did. She currently does not know where the offender is at. On 5-18-18, P.O. Walton called the offender's cell. It went straight to voicemail. P.O. Walton left a message stating that he has not been residing at his approved residence and to report in immediately. The offender failed to report in. On 5-21-2018, P.O. Walton attempted to call the offender's emergency contact, Doris Yancey's sister. It stated the call could not be completed at this time. On 5-21-2018, P.O. Walton attempted to call the offender's cousin, Joanne Clark, at 602-368-4701. There was no answer. P.O. Walton left a message for her to call me back. Joanne failed to call P.O. Walton back. On 5/22/2018, P.O. Walton called Maricopa County Sheriff's Office and confirmed the offender is not incarcerated there. P.O. Walton has no other means to locate the offender. To this date, the offender has made no attempts to contact P.O. Walton.
Thank you so very much, Mr. Turner. Okay, Mr. Turner, yes, see, why did you say that that allegation was false, sir?
I understand the defendant, I have a lot of documents, and I've got to take research, and he was giving me oxycodone medication for my family. Okay, and she was taking the pills too, you know what I mean? So like, when I leave the pills at home, when I get back and I go home, almost everything's gone. So when I start taking my pills for me to work and stuff, she get mad because I wouldn't give it to her. So a couple times she kicked me out of the house, all right? And then I come back later and everything is okay, all right? As far as you calling my sister, now if you were calling my sister, she would answer the phone. I guarantee you that. I never received a call from him on my cell phone. When I went through my messages, I didn't have no messages on my phone line. Okay, on the 16th, I went to see my parole officer. When I got there, the parole officer I did see said that my parole officer was getting killed. So he seen me, and he told me he was going to let my parole officer know that he seen me, then he probably called me and set up another day. I never received that call from him. About Linda, she got mad at me, and things just went haywire. She didn't want me staying there no more. Now, don't get me wrong.
Okay, so I think what I'm going to do now, sir, I'm going to move this to see where it goes to phase two, because I think much of the information that you're giving me now, that you're giving the board now, would be more appropriate to be considered in phase two, because right now we're just trying to make a determination whether the allegation itself was true or false, whether you were there or not. And I think that you admit that because of some misunderstanding, sometimes she asked you to leave. Therefore, I'm going to offer a motion, and then we're going to phase two. And then in phase two, you can explain everything to the board before the board makes its decision. And I'm going to offer a motion at this time, and my motion is to based upon information contained in warrant number 2018W1540, as well as testimony coming from Mr. Turner, representing the Department of Corrections, as well as testimony coming from Mr. Yancey, and my motion is to find that he did violate the terms and conditions of his supervision, that he was delinquent, that he had or may have lapsed into criminal ways or company.
Second.
Motion by myself, C.T. Wright, seconded by the Honorable Mr. Johnson, that you've been found guilty of violating terms and conditions of your supervision. Next, Mr. Yancey, we're going into phase two of your hearing, which is very important, because in phase two, the board will make a determination whether to revoke your supervision or to continue you on supervision. However, we begin phase two by receiving some background information from the Department of Corrections. Once we get that information, then we'll come back and we will have a discussion with you, and you can tell the board whatever you need to say to the board, sir. So at this time, Mr. Turner, would you give us some background information?
Yes, sir. Mr. Yancey was released from ABC custody on 9/11/2017 and arrested on 7/21/2018 by the Arizona Department of Public Safety on new misdemeanor charges of false information of law enforcement and possession of drug paraphernalia. Returned back to ABC custody on 7/24/2018 with an adjusted CSED of 9/20/2019 with 73 absconding days. Current conviction, 2008, theft means of transportation, 11 years, 3 months. Prior convictions, 1983, burglary, 2nd degree, 5 years. 1988, robbery, 4 years. 1991, burglary, 2nd degree, 7 years, 6 months. 1999, theft means of transportation, 6 years, 6 months. 2002, promoting prison contraband, 5 years. This is his fifth term in ADC with a CUIR score of 3.3, mental health score of 3, substance abuse score of 2. No STG information is noted. Prior terms of supervision, 1987, TR release, completed 2 months. 1991, TR release, reverted to parole, arrested, with CSED in custody. 1996, TR release to home arrest, arrested, reinstated, arrested, revoked by BOEC. 2007, TIS release, absconded for 76 days, arrested, revoked by BOEC. Disciplinary is significant and lengthy with assault, fighting, threatening staff, rioting, possession of contraband, smuggling contraband, possession, manufacture of a weapon, drugs, promoting contraband, and disorderly conduct noted. Other arrest, 1975, miscellaneous felony or misdemeanor, Arizona juvenile detention. 1975, shoplifting, Arizona juvenile detention. 1982, criminal trespassing in the first degree, Arizona felony conviction, probation. 1997, misdemeanor other DUI, Arizona misdemeanor conviction, probation. 1999, misdemeanor other DUI, Arizona misdemeanor conviction, probation. 1999, theft of a vehicle, Arizona unknown. Has a GB score of G3, V5. Status of charges. According to the Globe Justice Court, the offender was seen by a judge on the misdemeanor false information to law enforcement on 7/23/18 and was given time served in lieu of a fine. In regards to the misdemeanor possession of drug paraphernalia, the staff stated it was a felony possession of drug paraphernalia and that there has not been a complaint filed at this time.
So we don't know what's going to happen with that one.
Correct.
Nothing has happened at this moment. Okay, sir. Okay, we're back to you, Mr. Yancey, and based on information that we see in the warrant, and you've already gone over much of this residency, but we do take note that at the beginning when you were released, you were approved to reside at Deep Within Recovery, which was a halfway house there in Peoria, and then you started moving around from to step one, and then your cousin, Miss Hill, then I believe your fiance, your girlfriend, and then I believe another cousin, Miss Clark, and then you turned back with your girlfriend, and then with your cousin. So you just kept moving around for various reasons. Why did you move so much, sir? Why can you find one place that you would reside at, sir?
Okay, when I was staying with my cousin there, when I got out of Lewis and I got way out, one step, which I was supposed to move to TLC. Okay, when I got to the hospital house, I thought I was at TLC. I did the application and they accepted me there. All the time I was pulling in prison before I got released, I had a bad knee. I need knee surgery. And they moved it. Okay, and my knee went out on me. They called me paramedic. I got submitted in the hospital for five or six days. When they released me from the hospital, I called them to come pick me up, and they told me I don't know where to live there. They kicked me out because I was no good to them. I notified my parole officer, and he asked me that I had a place to go. I told him I called my cousin Ann, and she said I'm coming to live there. So as I'm living there, I was having a problem with Ann's grandson, and he kept pulling a gun out on me and stuff like that. So one day when my parole officer came to the house to see me, he confronted my parole officer like he was going to jump on my parole officer and stuff. So my parole officer asked me to do I have anywhere else to go because he didn't want me to stand there no more. And I told him, yes, my girlfriend. Well, I thought everything was going good until my doctor prescribed me oxycodone pills. Okay? And my girlfriend, she was taking them like M&Ms, okay? Because she constantly was taking them stuff. So then when I went to kill my medication, she get mad and wanted to kick me out. I had let my professor move, know this, but it wasn't nowhere that he could send me because all the halfway house we tried to kill me in they denied because of my medical bill. I had a lot of doctor's appointments. The halfway houses I went to, I told them about my doctor's appointment. They told me they couldn't accept me because it was interfering with the program. So I'm finished there, okay? Marshall Walter did everything in his power to keep me out. He was working with me. And I understand that. It was my fault. I messed up. He didn't have anything to do with being back up in jail. I done that. And I apologize. I did everything in my power to try to stay out of it. I did. But a lot of complications came down on me. I tried to work. I tried to save money so I could get me an apartment. Because I couldn't get into a halfway house.
So did you ever find a job, sir? Did you ever find any employment?
Yes, sir. When I got violated, I was on my way to Payson, Arizona to drop off a truck to one of the employees down there. And I got pulled over by the police. That's when I had the warrant, the DOC call. I never knew that I had this warrant on me. So they took me to jail. I mean, I'm not arguing about it like that. I know I messed up. You know, that's on me. I should have contacted my lawyer. My lawyers. I should have paid interest with them. I mean, like I said, I was out there working, saving my money, trying to,
you know. And who were you working for? What kind of job were you doing, sir?
I was hooking up LED lights. I was working for Red Mountain Electrician. It's located on 28th and 7th and 15th.
So they would let you drive a truck and everything, sir?
Yeah, I don't drive a company truck, but I was driving a friend of mine's vehicle. I was following him.
Oh, okay.
He was driving the company truck. Hmm. So when I was following him, I got pulled over. And that's when I also ran my name stuff, and that's when I had a GOC code. Okay. Now, as far as me, I wasn't running. I wasn't doing anything. I wasn't running in my car. I mean, I was trying to get everything in my car to stay out, but like I said, it was a lot of complications. And I was trying to deal with them. It's not my fault, I suppose. I can't blame him for nothing. You know, he did everything in his power to work with me. And I appreciate him for that. You know.
Now, what I do take note here, sir, in relation to your UAs, I believe you had about 9 negatives, and but then at the end of the day, back in April, you ended up being positive for THC, which I think is marijuana, as well as ETG alcohol. So why did you relapse, or what happened? Because you had had...
Yes, I did.
It seemed to me that you were doing quite well. You know, you had had all this time and all these negatives, and now we find you with some marijuana and some alcohol. So what was going on there, sir?
Okay. I mean, this might be, I don't really smoke marijuana. Okay, my cousin's grandson, he smoked a lot of weed. My parole officer even came to the house.
And is that the same grandson who had the gun and pointed the gun at you, sir?
Yes, sir. And when he was coming over there to see me, Ernest was smoking weed in the house, so we kept telling him not to smoke weed in the house, but he did anyway. And my parole officer, I know he smelled it, because he told me. And when I got the alcohol through it, I called him and I told him, I said, this man, my UA ain't gonna be dirty with alcohol. My UA, my client just came up. He told me he gonna take me for it anyway, so I did. About the marijuana, I didn't even know it was in my system until they had the test. I didn't lie to them, you know what I mean? And he told me like this, and that's when he sent me to that program at Double Mountain. And I quit that. From after that, I never had no other 30 UA. And like I said, and I, just started working for Red Mountain Electrician, and trying to build up my money so I can move away from a limit. Because I wasn't working out there, the woman, she was taking my medication, taking my pills from me, and, you know, it was real great. And I was going through a lot of things with my family, and trying to make it work with her. It didn't work out. It didn't work out. And I was trying to do my best.
Okay, so let me ask this, so we can move on, sir. Whether this board, you know, decides to let you out now or next year, what are your plans? What are you planning to stay with? It seemed to me that you had all kind of challenges with your family members, your cousins and your cousins, your grandkids, and all of that. So what are you planning to do once you get out, sir?
My understanding is if you did reinstate me, the DOC have a halfway house. You know what I mean? And I have to get with my counselor to get me in there. But as far as if I got in the whole year, I'm going to do the same thing. I'm going to try to find me a halfway house and try to keep saving my money until I can get me an apartment. I'm not going to give up. You know, that's what I ain't gonna do. But like I say, if y'all decide to want to let me back out there, then I'm gonna do everything in my power to try to stay. You know what I mean? I'm gonna go back to work, doing what I was doing, working, going back home, you know, and I'm not sure. I wouldn't put a minimum of time or nothing like that. But, I mean, like I said, it's up to y'all if y'all want to take that chance or not. You know what I mean? One thing I can say, I do my best. You know, and I'm 54 years old. I'll be 55 next month. And I don't really need to be up in here. I need to get my life straight. And I can't go to a program who would help me. That's what I think they call the gelatin. Something like that. I signed up for it before. They accepted me, but I didn't go. I didn't go. So I just started working and stuff like that to see if I could save up my money to go on my own. But I mean, that's all I can tell you.
Okay, sir. Let me give you the hold on for a moment. I'm going to see if my distinguished colleagues may have a question for you. Let me take some information from Mr. Turner, and then I'll go to Honorable Mr. Johnson if he has something. So, Mr. Turner, sir?
Yes, sir. Brooke Carter notes, the last time he had contact with parole staff would have been his contact visit with his parole officer on 5/9/2018. He had another scheduled report date of 6/8/18 that he did not show up for. He was not arrested for almost 40 days after that next report date.
Okay, thanks for calling that to the attention of the board, sir. Okay, sir, we're coming to the end of your hearing. This is your hearing. Anything else you want to tell the board without repeating yourself? And then the board is going into discussion and make its determination. So anything else you want to tell the board at this time? But please don't repeat nothing that you've already told us, sir.
No, I don't have anything to say.
Okay, sir. Well, the board is now going into discussion. We're going to ask that you remain quiet while the board is in discussion. And following this discussion, the board will make a determination whether to revoke community supervision or to continue Mr. Yancey on supervision. The board is now in discussion. I find Mr. Yancey to be a very interesting person. Somehow things just did not work out for him. I really admire him. For a couple of things that did take place, that he had 9 UAs that were negative, and of course he did relapse with some marijuana and some alcohol, and he said that, that was because of some relationship with a young relative who somehow had all kind of influence. He had pulled a gun on him, this young relative had attempted to assault apparently the parole officer. This was very interesting. The person that was in the family, he has some very interesting family members, to say the least. And he did abscond for some 73 days, which means that we have no idea what was going on at that time. We know what he's telling us, but his parole officer had no idea whatsoever what was going on. And that's the most important thing. When one is on supervision or parole, the parole officer is supposed to know at all times what's going on. When they abscond, then that is not known. And I think that, just my feeling, but I'm prepared to listen to my distinguished colleague, I just feel that, yes, Mr. Yancey is making progress, but I'm not sure that he's quite there. I think he really needs to, I know it's a while, but he really needs to sit down and come up with a plan, and maybe not to involve all his relatives, but a plan of his own so that when he gets out, he can be successful. I know he says that he wants to go to a halfway house, and I think that he really needs to start writing halfway houses and get in contact with them so that they will be ready to receive him the day that he walks out. That's my feeling, but I'm prepared to listen to my distinguished colleague, the Honorable Mr. Johnson.
I agree.
Okay, that's why I'm going to offer a motion. And my motion is going to be to move to revoke community supervision of Mr. Carl Yancey, ADC number 47887, and as much as he did abscond for some 73 days, he also relapsed on alcohol and as well as marijuana, and he did not follow the directives of his assigned parole officer. Therefore, that is my motion to revoke. Motion by myself, C.T. Wright, seconded by the Honorable Mr. Johnson. Sir, your community supervision has been revoked. However, as stated before, you're scheduled to be out next year, and at that time, you will not have to report to a parole officer unless something else comes up. I know it's a while, so I'm not sure it is a year, but I think it's best that you just get your life together. You'll be a year older, and you just don't need to be, you don't need to be incarcerated anymore, sir. We wish you the best. So, sir, please put together a plan. So the next time when you get out, you won't have the same problems that you had this time. This will end your hearing. Thank you so much for your participation, sir. And your hearing is over. Thank you, sir.